Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Theorizing case file 48, flight M370.
I'm Braden. Mark.
I'm Zell.
I'm Andrew.
Oh, the boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
And one in Skype.
Here they come.
The boys in the bright sports car
podcast.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Recording into their mics.
I bet you no one.
Most of our listeners have no idea
what that song is.
It's fucking Trooper.
I know, but I'm saying most of our listeners.
I guess it's Canadian.
That's Canadian rock. I don't think Trooper was big in the States at all, or anywhere else for that matter.
YouTube it.
Yeah,
great tune.
Actually, at this most recent meat draw, There's an old lady, and she sings Raise a Little Hell all the time. And she's got no neck, and she just goes, Raise a little hell, raise a little hell, raise a little hell. If you don't like what you got, why don't you change it?
With that accent?
That's how she sings it.
Oh, wow.
Every single week she sings it. So we always cheer her on.
Where does she sing it? Like on a stage?
Yeah, on the karaoke stage.
Oh, okay.
I got wasted on Friday, and I sang Only Want to Be With You by Hootie and the Blowfish. Nice. Except I instead of saying Only Want to Be With You, I'd say, I just want to raise a little hell with you. And I sang to her the whole time.
Attaboy.
Oh, that was me. So you were asking me earlier, when's the last time I got that drunk? Friday. That was last meat draw Friday.
Drunk. Nice. Was Jeff there?
No, Jeff had to work. Jeff.
His name is Jeff.
He's a firefighter. He's a good guy. But we won the $220 prime rib, and he wasn't there to see it. It was the first time our group's ever won it.
Nice.
Got me 27 steaks out of it.
Do you go to the meat draw every week?
I go like every payday. It's a fucking hoot.
What else is there to do there?
That's the bar up in Fort St. John.
Yeah. No, that's the bar where there's not weirdos. I'm the only weirdo there.
Sounds like it.
But, space news! This just in, Earth's greatest scientist.
What? What'd they do?
Jerry Smith has let everyone know that Pluto is a planet.
Well, I don't know. I got some discrepancies there. If you talk to my boy Scoopy Noopers, he'll disagree with you.
Heretic. He's a heretic, that guy. So you heard it here from the revered scientist, Jerry Smith. Pluto is a planet.
Wait. Who is this?
Jerry Smith.
Who is Jerry Smith?
You know Jerry Smith?
I guess not, no.
He's Earth's greatest scientist.
I can't believe I don't know him.
Yeah. Oh. He blew it.
Hey.
Who is Jerry Smith?
You don't know Jerry Smith?
Just fuck with me. Guy gets a little stoned before the podcast, and you lead him on some Jerry Smith tangent. All right. Forget Jerry Smith. What else you got to say?
Ryan's like, who the fuck is this psycho Jerry Smith? This is a good one for Canadian astronomers. Canadian astronomers detect 15 signals from a mysterious object in a distant galaxy. Canadian astronomers discovered that this source is repeating. It's a fast radio burst, FRB, and it's called FRB 121102. And it's very interesting because it's
memorable.
Yeah,
of course. How could you ever forget FRB 121102? You never. You just hear it once, rings off the tongue. But it's one of the only ones known to be repeating. Like, they can time it and track it. And the last one they recorded, they found 15 more bursts, and they found them to be a higher radio frequency than anything that's ever been observed before.
Okay, well, considering I'm not Jerry Smith, Earth's greatest scientist, can you explain to me what that means?
Aliens.
Basically, right? That's one of the theories. Now, they say it could be, like noise from like black holes or like I don't know, other like
how
pulsar.
How could a black hole make noise?
Pulsars. They just think it's sometimes other like that's where they've sourced other things. Right. But the reason why this one's different is because it's repeating. Right? Like,
so
usually
repeating like usually, on a, like a predictable pattern.
Predictable enough that they've caught it more than once now. I don't know exactly. It doesn't really say in the article how often it repeats.
Odd repeating.
Yeah, and they've got it from they know the host galaxy, and so they say it's kind of perplexing.
Perplexing. Great word.
But they say, yeah, pulsars do it, and black holes sometimes emit FRBs, but they don't do it in like various frequencies, and they definitely don't do it repeating. So they have no idea right now. It's pretty exciting that they have no idea.
Well, right to aliens I go, so I'll take that.
So it could be aliens. So I just thought it was cool, a little cool thing for Canadian scientists. Other than that, man, we've had some wicked, wicked auroras. It's like I didn't see any auroras, and now all of a sudden it's like almost every night there's some up here. It's
like
crazy.
For the last week, it's been shooting through the atmosphere?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. So,
ooh, what about that meteor that we saw?
Oh, there was a local meteor in like southern BC. I don't know, Brayden, did you see it up there too?
So I didn't see it up here, but the hunt is on. I've been reading articles about they're trying to find where it landed.
Shit, I don't actually have the story in front of me, but it was a couple nights ago.
Yeah, it was fucking crazy.
All of a sudden, out of nowhere, this giant fireball came shooting through the sky. Like, you see it in Kelowna and like the whole like southern interior of British Columbia. And they say it impacted somewhere in the Kootenays, and they're looking for the fragments of where it fucking hit.
It was fucking crazy. I peed a little, man. It was crazy.
The pictures of it in the video was actually like... It's pretty terrifying. Insane. Yeah.
Yeah, they say it turned night to day.
Yeah, no, like it was fucking wild. We were out in the ambulance when it happened, and it lit up.
Oh, so you actually saw it. Yeah, oh, it was crazy. Sweet. Yeah, I heard nothing but cool stories about that.
The perks of working nights.
Did you have some lady go exorcist on you in the back of the ambulance again? Or
I avoid that now at all costs.
That you don't take those calls?
I call for the cops. I'm like, hey, listen.
You know what? I've had it happen once.
I've been through this before. I'm not going to do it again. Terrifying.
Yeah, that was cool.
It's above my pay grade.
So I don't think, is that it for space? Anyone else have any space news?
No, I'm still waiting for the Cassini spacecraft update, and I haven't got it yet, so I'll go next case file, you'll hear it.
Yeah. In a little bit. Okay, so do we want to turn on the Randomatron X2 here?
I think so.
All right.
Have you been adjusting the dials at all? Or you just still it's still the same factory settings.
It's still factory settings.
All right.
The dials will get adjusted. I've still like it's pretty much in IKEA language right now. Like, I can't read this stuff. I saw it. I have no idea. Speaking of IKEA, I bought a beautiful Malm set from the Malm series there. Malm series. Anyone who knows anything about IKEA will know what I'm talking about.
I'm really out of the loop. I don't know the fucking scientist. I don't know the series from IKEA.
I don't know that shit.
I also bought a couple Renarps and some Molgers, a couple Molger pieces. So,
sure, sounds nice.
I'm excited. I'm excited about it.
Stop.
So anyways, I'm going to turn on.
Is this what you do? You get a new place and then you just start shopping at IKEA?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Brain's house is going to look like just the IKEA magazine. Just small square tables everywhere you look.
All my lamps are just those arrows that they shine the arrows on the ground of where to walk through. Okay, so I'm gonna turn this thing on. I'm gonna turn this thing on right now.
And stop.
Okay, another excellent work by the Randomatronics 2. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear that baby purr? Okay.
What do you, I didn't hear anything. What are you guys talking about? I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, okay,
I thought,
so
I didn't hear. What, you didn't what hear happened? It? No, what happened? There?
Well, you missed it, man.
I thought you just stopped the podcast and we
nah,
just
you fucking missed it.
Oh, okay,
you missed it.
Oh, my bad.
Do Nathan. Oh, I'm a fucking idiot. Oh, I just said. I'm assuming it meant Donathan. I just said do Nathan instead of Donathan.
Do Nathan.
I'm just gonna go with it. Do Nathan.
I'll drop my pen.
I don't know. I was squinting with one eye, and then I said, to Nathan. And then when I opened my other eyes, I realized it's
Donathan. Why are you squinting?
Do Nathan.
Well, I was just rubbing my eye.
All right, all right.
But, so, do Nathan, Dwayne. Hey, I haven't even read it yet.
I'm sorry, sorry.
Okay. Hey, so that's a very popular
in October
Canadian 19th, name.
Yeah, do Nathan.
That's a Canadian name. It's very popular.
It's a Canadian name, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's got a good ring
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, do Nathan D. Wayne.
Wow. Sounds perfectly normal to me.
Yeah. In October 1973 in Blackford County, Indiana. Well, he must have been visiting, I guess.
Yeah. On holidays.
Oh, wait. I put this up so bad. His name is Dwayne Do Nathan.
Oh, okay. You had it backwards.
Not do Nathan Dwayne. I had it backwards.
Okay.
Okay. In October 1973, in Blackford County, Indiana. Did I not read that properly?
I don't know.
I think he lost him on the name again.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. So he's do Nathan or he's Dwayne or what the fuck's his
he
name?
Read, the first time he read the last name first, and then the first, like, you know how it's written last name, first name? Yeah. But he's actually.
I say we
reversed.
Keep it to do Nathan Dwayne.
Do Nathan Dwayne.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'll try to
restart it again.
I'll adjust the story accordingly. In October 1973, in Blackford County, Indiana, do Nathan Dwayne had an extraordinary entity sighting.
Cool.
Do Nathan Dwayne, oh, sorry, do Nathan Dwayne and his wife were driving home in the early evening and encountered what appeared to be a tractor parked near the road.
Oh, is it a ghost tractor?
As they approached it, they saw two silver-suited figures dancing as if to music.
What?
Stupid. The Dwaynes drove past the pair and looking back saw them standing beside the road. There was something unearthly about their movements, and they appeared unable to leave the road where they were.
As soon as you said silver suits, the first thing that popped in my head were the fucking dudes from Dude Where's My Car. You know, Zoltan. Yeah. Or Zoltek, yeah. Or whatever the fuck.
Zoltan, like, yeah.
Yeah, Zoltan.
I have, you know, people have described my dance moves before as unearthly, so I'm not completely convinced.
Well, they are. I can attest to that.
Me too. You do cut some rug.
So one time you blew your knee out pretty much. So that was it. That was it for the, what'd you call that move? The Colt 45?
Colt 45, yeah. It's my go-to. I've hung that one up in the shelves. So anyways, let me finish this. So they've seen some silver suited figures just jamming out by a tractor in the middle of Blackford County, Indiana.
Cool.
The Dwaynes turned around but found the silver suited entities were gone. Up in the sky, two separate bright lights were flickering in an up and down motion. What makes the sighting all the more extraordinary is that there was virtually identical sightings some 3 hours apart, approximately a mile away by witness Gary Flatter. Oh, you know what, boys?
What do you got?
Since this one's connected, I wonder if I should read Gary Flatter's account of this.
You probably should. What's his name, though? Say his name again.
Gary Flatter?
Doesn't sound right. You got to come up with something better than that. Like Jerry or something like that. Something fucking on the lines of Do Nathan or Do Athan.
Something worthy of.
Yeah. Unless maybe he's not Canadian. If he's Canadian. If he's American.
Okay,
he's a foreigner.
I got it. Let me go back.
Okay.
So I'm going to read that last sentence. What makes the sightings all the more extraordinary is that they were virtually identical sightings some 3 hours apart, approximately a mile away by witness Guy Flatterly.
That's better.
Better.
All right. So now over to Guy Flatterly. Guy Flatterly had an extraordinary entity encounter in October 1973 in Blackford County, Indiana. He was a second witness to the entity encounter of the Dwayne's.
Like Dwayne's.
The Dwayne's.
Come on, man.
Like them, he watched a pair of entities dancing in the roadway and turned his spotlight on them. When the light hit them, they kicked their feet and lifted off the ground, just drifted away.
What? That's the best alien encounter story I've heard. It's not scary at all. Sounds awesome. They just came down here to dance a bit.
Just grooving.
Dancing in the moonlight.
So wait, so there's two separate encounters. Both encounters seen these entities dancing on the street.
Yeah, but Guy Flatterly saw them drift away.
Click their heels and up they went.
Yeah.
What's that like old fucking 80s breakdance song? I can just picture him doing that, doing the robot. The ding, boom, ding, boom, ding, ding, ding. You know? That's exactly what I'm hearing in my head while you're explaining it. Just doing the running man and staring at him.
In their shimmer suits.
Yeah. They laid out some fucking cardboard and they're just fucking giving her.
One of them's Terry Crews in a silver suit.
Exactly. Fucking Euro training.
Remember that one time you guys did the fucking Russian dancing? You guys have to try and replicate that.
I'm surprised we didn't blow our knees out doing that.
Yeah. Oh! Okay, when I come in down in October, let's try to get our hands in some silver suits.
Yeah.
And we'll just film us dancing in the street.
We got to find a tractor, though. We have to find a tractor.
Or else
it's not authentic.
I can do with I got a Bobcat I could use.
Perfect. And then we got to track down that song. I don't even know what that... No. Boom, ding, boom, ding, ding, ding.
We'll find it.
So one of our fans will know what it is.
I'm glad you knew what song I was talking about.
If you know what song that is, please let us know on Twitter, Facebook, or email.
Yeah, it's fucking great. It's like synth, you know? It's
I know that song you're talking about, but I have no idea who it is.
Good. Oh, man, that's great. Yeah. All right. Yep. Let's get to it!
No, I liked that UFO case of the week.
It was awesome.
It was a nice one.
It was funny. It was funny. If nothing, it was funny.
And that was still on factory settings.
That's good.
No, okay, well, I guess we just leave it. You know, some weeks you just get a dud. Like last week was a dud.
Sometimes the duds are just as funny.
I don't know. This one's good. Guy and Do Nathan.
You know what I think I'm going to do, though? I think I'm going to make up the names every time.
Probably a better idea.
That might be better. Don't even say you make it up.
I don't know, though, because I don't think you're going to come up with anything as good as fucking Do Nathan.
That one came
again.
Too organic. Now you're going to be thinking about it. There's too much pressure on you.
It's going to suck.
You mean I can come up? I can come with Do Nathan, D. Wayne, and Guy Flatterly 7 days a week.
I don't know.
Pretty sure I can.
I don't know.
I hope you can.
Oh, let's give it a shot.
All right. Talking Malaysian Airlines Flight 370.
This one actually, I was like, I always forget, but this one actually has cool history for us as a group.
Yeah, it does.
Because when this all went down, me, Zell, Miss Conspiracy, and Nagini, the human lizard.
We've talked about a dozen times and we've never actually had him on or showing you a picture.
Yeah. We were all traveling in Thailand at the time, right when this happened. So this was right around when we've talked about before, like we would sit on the beaches of Koh Tao on what we called Conspiracy Rock and we just shoot the shit. And most of the time, this would always get like Malaysian Flight 370 would always get the ball rolling because it was always on the news everywhere. It was popping off when we were there. Like it literally happened while we were in the airport in Manila about to get on a flight.
Yeah,
they were saying like this flight's gone missing. And we were like, holy shit, we're about to fly in the same airspace.
Yeah, because we were there first and then you guys showed up. And during that time when it happened and then we were there for like 7 or 10 days.
Yeah.
And remember there was a naval battleship out in the bay.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that's just the story we kept hearing was like, oh, that's just for the prince and princess. They like to travel in this area.
Oh, shit. Remember? You know what? I Oh my God. And that brings me to one of the theories. I totally forgot about that. And now this makes so much sense. One of the theories is that they were running US and Thai military drills in that area.
Yeah.
And they straight up by accidentally shot down that plane.
That I did. I didn't hear it was that, but I heard I knew one of the conspiracies it got shot down.
Yeah. But I heard it was by the Thai US military while they were doing military drills. And they were like, because they didn't want an international incident, everyone just kept it hush hush. Like no one said anything. And like, if there's anything I know about Thailand from living there, like 100%, I could see that being down, just being like brushed under the rug and like, don't say anything. We need to save face.
Okay. I got to quickly say something about that theory though. Because the airline, it went from Malaysia, it went over to Thailand, and then it headed west for a while, and like ended up, the last contact was like somewhere over like the Andaman Sea or whatever.
Yeah. Well, hey, why don't you have it up? Why don't you give us a quick outline of the event? I kind of just got into a excited moment there.
Excited delirium.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got going kind of early. So yeah, it was a Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 left Kuala Lumpur Airport in Malaysia. So yeah, left for Beijing Capital International Airport, and
well, it disappeared on.
We're gonna let's edit this part out, and like we'll do something a little bit better.
No, it's not our fault. You got too intoxicated. It's not our fault.
No, he's high.
It's
not our fault. He's not drunk. He's high.
I'm not drunk. Yeah, but high.
He's high. Yeah,
it's not our fault. You got caught in mouth. You can't spit out the words.
I don't really have a good summary on it.
All right, hold on. Malaysia Airline Flight 370 disappeared on the 8th of March 2014 after departing from Kuala Lumpur for Beijing with 239 passengers and crew on board. It disappeared. Official announcements have been questioned by many critics, and several theories about the disappearance have been proposed. Some of these have been described as conspiracy theories. The incident, to this day, still remains under investigation. Flight just vanished. And that's it. They never found it. But what are some weird things about this flight, Ryan?
Well, like it vanished, yes. But the weirdest thing is how it took off towards, it was going over like the Gulf of Thailand, and then did like a weird 60-degree turn to the right, and then it veered back all the way back, like for like an hour and a half, flew westwards into like the other, across Thailand to the other side of the sea, did another weird maneuver. And the last time they lost contact with it was like somewhere like 200 kilometers west of Thailand. So it was like, it just completely veered off course. And after a while, they just lost it on radar, on all radar, military and private sector.
Oh man. Yeah. It's such a weird, like you can look up pictures of the flight path and it doesn't make any sense. And they had stopped calling. They had stopped radioing. They weren't giving any transmissions. So they lost contact with the airline as well. So they figured they lost contact, and then it flew for an undetermined amount of time after they lost contact with it.
So were they in contact with it when it was going off its like flight pattern so drastically? Like, was anybody monitoring that and being like, yo, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Hey,
you guys all good?
I think the very last time they heard from it was like an hour and a half after the flight. So like it went up to its full cruising speed, and then it dropped down. I'm on this one, this like flight path of it, dropped down to 29,000 feet. And that was the last known position. And that was an hour and a half into the flight. And that was west of Thailand there.
So that's before it was going all fuck.
Yeah. So the last.
No, that was after it went all fuck you. So they were still had communication with it until then. And then everything.
So there's no record of what they were saying then? Like,
everything was normal. The last formal message received was, quick math, 25 minutes after takeoff. And they headed kind of northeast towards China. Flew over Malaysia into the South China Sea. And at they left at 12:41, 1:06, it was the last transmission. At 1:22 is the last time they pinged on secondary radar. And then they figure they did some sort of fucking U-turn and started flying like southwest back over Malaysia. And then as soon as they crossed over Malaysia, they kind of veered northwest.
Yep.
And at 2:22, so an hour after, they haven't been on radar for an hour, they ping on the other side now in the Andaman Sea, which is on like the east side of Malaysia and Thailand, and it's heading northeast.
Yeah, the west side of Thailand and Malaysia. Northwest of Phuket by a couple hundred kilometers, and that was the last time it pinged, and that was it. Never seen again.
So, and the reason they think they just have an estimated flight path, because they don't really know what the hell this thing did, because it wasn't pinging on radars. So their biggest guess is this kind of like saggy, loose U that it went, turned around at the South China Sea, and then did a U.
Why wasn't it pinging on radars?
Well, there's a lot of theories on that.
A lot of theories on that, yeah.
Should we get into some of these?
Sure, let's start there.
Oh, you got one for that?
So one of the theories I came across is the pilot, supposedly the main suspect is the pilot, obviously, when an airplane goes missing, right? For like pilot suicide or whatever. So one of the theories I came across is the pilot, he knew where to dip and dodge the radar, because there's radar black zones when you're flying, I guess, for like a certain amount of time, from what I kind of came across. And the theory is that he knew when to dip and dive because he wanted to get off course enough to be able to crash the plane so no one would find it. It's pretty much the best theory I could come up with. Like, usually pilot suicide, like, if you're going to, like, you do it, you crash, and, like, they know, right?
Well, like...
But this guy, like, went... If he was doing pilot suicide, he, like, flew. He knew where to fly to dodge radar, went back across the country, went north, went west, and ended up on, like, a whole different area of where he should have been.
Yeah, but, like... What I don't understand, like, if this guy's planning on doing a pilot suicide, I'm assuming that's a thing, because you're talking about it like it's a thing, wouldn't the reason why you're doing, you know... a mass suicide like that for, you know, like publicity. I don't understand. If he wanted to be shady, just kill himself quietly, you think he'd just do it at home by himself?
Yeah. And like, for like, if this is pilot suicide, like you have a co-pilot.
Yeah. Just,
you have crew. Like, do you knock out your co-pilot? Like, is he just going to let you fly the plane? Like,
yeah,
your co-pilot's not like, he knows how to fly planes. He's not the same rank, but he knows what you're doing.
Maybe he had a set of box cutters.
Ooh. The conspiracy continues.
It's like his name Captain Zahari. I think that's his.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Yeah.
Zahari Ahmad Sah is the prime suspect. But I can get on board with the suicide thing, but there is some shaky evidence on that, because it's like, my thing is, if you're just going to commit pilot suicide, why not just, you know, send that thing into a fireball and land? Like, why are you joyriding it? You know what I mean?
And not even just joyriding. Like, you're joyriding and dodging radar.
And dodging radar, yeah.
Well, like, maybe he didn't mean to dodge radar. He's flying his plane. He's like, I'm going to crash this thing. And then he's like, maybe I'm not
going to. Not here.
I can't do it.
Just got lucky on every turn. Just
super indecisive. But, just like, I'm going to, no. I can't do it.
Can't do it.
I just can't.
In 2015, detectives from Malaysia's special branch had obtained Captain Zahari's. They had found that Captain Zahari had cleared his diary and all his calendars and stuff of all social and work commitments at his flight, like that flight. So he had not booked, planned.
Oh, so that was last flight he had booked. He was not, so like, he had nothing else going.
On his calendars and in his diaries, like, he was a man to take like meticulous notes and write things down. This was the last entry. There was no things in the future, like no future appointments, no meetings, no nothing. He ended it at this. This was the end of his planning. Whereas, like, authorities kind of cleared everyone else, like all the other crew and stuff, because when they checked their calendars and stuff and their work stuff, they all had plans and they had things that they were meant to attend.
Right.
Where it seems like this guy just, he was like, you know what I mean? Like, he was like, well, I'm done after this. This is it.
Maybe he's just living in the moment.
Well, that's the thing, right? You don't know. So, you know, some people think that maybe he deliberately turned off the oxygen supply. So he dipped and he depressurized the cabin. And then the oxygen things would have dropped for the passengers, but those only have 20 minutes of air, and then everyone would have just suffocated. And then he just ditched the plane.
Right.
Ugh, that's horrible.
Man, there's like, yeah, they... some like another theory, like right away, I remember when thinking it was everyone thought that it was terrorists right away. I remember being there and everyone's like, terrorists. But still to this day, well, there's weird things about that too. No terrorist group has ever claimed responsibility, which is super weird because they love doing that.
Yep. That's the first thing that happens. Yeah.
Two passengers boarded this flight with stolen passports.
Yep.
Like it's a two stolen Austrian passports. So it's crazy that. But why would no terrorist group, like, is this such a small cell organization that it's just two guys that were like, oh, let's do this. Yeah, fuck it.
Maybe they just didn't accomplish what they were trying to, and they're too embarrassed to admit that they did it.
Or maybe,
like, well, let's just sweep that under the rug.
Maybe these terrorists who got on the plane were not just normal, like, Al-Qaeda terrorists. They were super well trained. They took over the plane. They hijacked it, and they took that plane somewhere that you would never even know.
Ooh, like a secret island?
Maybe a secret island or a secret military base somewhere in the Indian Ocean called Diego Garcia.
Ooh.
I don't
heard that one.
I didn't really look much into that one, but I guess Diego Garcia is a American military base pretty much in the middle of the Indian Ocean. And there's theories that the hijackers took the plane there and then it went on from there. But I didn't really go down that route.
Well, that kind of links up to one of the other theories that you're going to talk about later with one of the engineers that took the selfie. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
One of the engineers apparently took a selfie and posted it like a couple days after the crash. And then you know how on the pictures they can all be like dated and their location, you know, and everything.
Time-stamped,
like that. That timestamp was within like I don't know how many kilometers of that Diego Garcia.
Oh, that's where the conspiracy gets legs in.
Yeah.
So an engineer at that base took a selfie with the plane.
No. A guy that was fucking on the plane.
On the plane.
And he's apparently sending the messages to somebody basically saying, like, I was on the plane. I'm by myself. I'm separated from everybody. I'm in like a cell.
Right.
And this is supposedly one of the engineers.
Interesting.
Because there's theories that people claim that loved ones and family members have been receiving messages from their loved ones' numbers and stuff. But not being able to respond, and they'll just get cryptic messages every now and then.
That's so weird.
It's creepy.
Let's just quickly at this time say that the official story is the plane was crashed in the Indian Ocean, and they have found at least 3 confirmed pieces, is the official story.
And then all friends or all family members received a $5,000 travel fucking voucher.
Yeah. Was that real?
Yeah, it's real.
On Malaysian Airlines?
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah, they got a $5,000 travel credit.
All right. Anyway, wow. I just wanted to quickly touch on that. The official story is 3 things have been found confirmed, which is, you know, it's obvious it was like 3 years, it was like 2 or 3 years after they found these
confirmed
pieces,
right? According to the mainstream media.
Confirmed by CNN. Let's say that. They said they found a wing fragment.
Fake news.
In Mauritius in May 2016. A flaperon. I think that's how you pronounce that.
Okay, do Nathan.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, that's like...
talking to me about pronunciation? Okay.
You see those when you look out the plane on the wing, on the back of the wing, they go up and down, and they make the plane go up and down kind of thing.
Flaperon?
That's one of the... Flaperon.
Sounds like a fucking Pokemon.
It does. It sounds like Flareon.
Vaporeon.
Yeah.
And Flaperon, he's the flying one.
Electron? No.
No.
What's the third one? Jolteon.
Jolteon, yeah.
Right. Anyways, a flaperon and a wing flap. All found on different islands in the Indian Ocean, and that's the official story. And then also there's four more that they say like could be, but there you go.
Hold on. Let's get back to this base. What was the base called? Diego Sanchez?
Garcia.
Jerry Garcia.
So what? Like, I don't understand what's the big conspiracy. I didn't read this one, so what's the big conspiracy about? So if it landed in an American base, case solved. Like why, what's the... I kind of understand.
Trade for alien technology.
I
don't know. You know how there's like, they have all these conspiracies, like the American government trades, lets aliens abduct or take their citizens for exchange for American technology?
Yeah.
That's just one of the conspiracies I read.
I bet you we traded this fucking $370 for the new facial recognition iPhone.
Right? Oh, how yeah. fucked up is that? $1,000 iPhone scans your entire face to a T.
I'm good.
Where does that information go?
I'm cool.
Anyways, I mean, there's a lot of conspiracies like with something like this with unanswered questions, the conspiracies start to run wild a little bit. But that there is some government conspiracy that I will talk about maybe in a bit. But do you have another one you want to touch on?
Well, okay, so we can talk about staying on the path of the terrorists. I've also read that it was terrorists, and they flew this flight within 3,000 feet of another flight and brought it to Kandahar in Afghanistan and landed it. And all these people are now separated and they're living in huts held captive for ransom. But I'm like, that's impossible, because there is absolutely no way a terrorist organization is going to kidnap a plane and successfully do it and land it there. And then we're not like, you would hear that shit all day long, well, right? Al Jazeera like, Allah, Allah, Ula Akbar, we have the plane. You're not safe in the sky.
I take offense to that.
That is a little offensive.
I'm sorry. Totally. What's
this
bad?
This man has Lebanese heritage.
Okay, well.
He takes offense to this.
Yeah, but okay, great. Why would America, why would the states fucking try and hide that? They'd be like using that as a perfect excuse. Great. Another reason to go fucking invade.
If that was the case and they would let the terrorists take the plane and not say anything, and then they would use it afterwards to justify some type of military action. That's how I think it would
totally
work.
Totally. They made up fake WMDs.
Yes, they did.
So, you know what I mean? They have a if that was the case, they'd be like, no, we have a real reason to invade somebody other than oil. Let's fucking do it.
And you know what I always think when stuff like this, like when these missing things happen, I'm like, part of me always goes, okay, who is on this plane?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You're going somewhere here.
Am I?
You are going somewhere here.
I think so.
I don't know if you know this. This is the theory that prevails for most conspiracy people, especially conspiracy people with the New World Order in mind.
Well, see, that would make sense to me. Someone who needed to be, who's causing issues or not following line, was on this plane, and everyone else was just collateral damage.
Well, so who possibly on this fucking plane would have had a beef with Hollywood Hulk Hogan and, you know, Kevin Nash and all them? So I don't understand.
Wait, who was on the plane?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I don't know. Why would they have beef with the NWO?
Oh, with the NWO, yes. Who knows?
I mean? Went the wrestling route there, but...
Was Diamond Dallas... Diamond Dallas Page?
Yeah.
DDP.
Or Sting?
He's a little angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan, who was on the plane?
All right.
Well, you gotta... No, you can't just do that. You gotta backtrack.
I'm gonna backtrack a little bit.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm gonna set the stage a little bit for... Who was on the plane, who they work for, who owned them, and who owns a lot of people.
Yeah.
So everyone remembers Ed Snowden, right? The guy who blew the whistle on the NSA.
Yeah.
So he worked for a company called Booz Allen Hamilton on Hawaii, in Hawaii. I can't remember what island it was. And he pretty much blew the whistle that the NSA can spy and hear
everything.
Everything. They have access to every spy satellite, everything they can hear. They can connect with any plane, any military. They could do anything. He fucking blew the whistle and he's like, hey guys, you need to know that America, like, these guys are spying on every American and probably most people in the Western world.
What a fucking dummy. Why would you do it? You do that, you're got a fucking cushy gig in Hawaii and now he's freezing his balls off from Russia.
He's a fucking hero, man. He's a hero. No. Whatever you say, the man's a hero.
I would have been fucking, what do you call it? Fucking hanging out in Hawaii. How do they say hello again?
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. I'd be aloha fucking and.
Well, now he's aloha in Russia.
No, you don't aloha. You fucking freeze.
Hey, he says Russia's not a bad place. They got a shit government, he says, but people are fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what he says.
Yeah, Russia, not bad place.
Yeah, exactly like that. Anyways, okay, so he worked for Booz Allen Hamilton, who was a contractor for the NSA who exposed that they could spy on fucking everybody. Booz Allen Hamilton is owned by a company called the Carlyle Group. It's like a big investment firm. They're into they have
fucking stuff, evil.
They have stuff. They own Kinder Morgan pipelines and oil and shit. They own Fuck, I had a list of it here. I didn't fucking pull it up. But they own a fucking whole bunch of people. What's it called?
Global Alternative Asset Management.
Yeah, that's like the business model. But one of their main ones was United Defense. So it was a defense company that, you know, made military vehicles, transport vehicles, fucking like artillery and all this crazy shit used for like invasive wars, like overseas wars.
So basically Stark Industries.
Basically one like a Stark industry, like a, well, maybe a little bit smaller, but anyways, so he worked for them. He blew the whistle. So these guys work for this guy named this company called the Carlyle Group. The Carlyle Group recently before the events of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, bought rights to a company called Freescale Semiconductors and a bunch of their patents. So they own 20% of this company, and there was four other high-level engineers of the company who owned 20% each. So there was five owning parties. They each owned 20% of these patents worth billions and billions of dollars. I think I remember they purchased the company, I wrote down here, for $17.6 billion in 2006.
Whoa.
So Carlyle Group purchased Freescale Semiconductors for $17.6
billion. And then, like, the Freescale kind of stuff that they work on, they were like...
So semiconductors are like, I don't know exactly what they are, but they're used in all electronics pretty much. So the electronic company. This is what they're
like microprocessors.
Yeah, something like that. I don't think it's quite that, but I like the little lisp on that too.
No, that was just a terrible Boston accent. Oh, did you pick up on that, Brayton?
Yeah,
microprocessors.
Yeah, that's The Departed.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, I get you.
The Departed.
So they had held a bunch of patents to shit that I don't know about, but it was worth a whole bunch of money. 20 people on this plane, Flight 370. We're going to a conference in Beijing for Malaysia. Four of these people were the high-level engineers who owned the patents to these semiconductor patents.
Get the fuck out of here.
So these people die in the plane crash. And then I wrote it down. After the plane crash, the patents were filed. Oh, fuck. I didn't remember what day. I lost it. Anyways. Pretty much the conspiracy was after that plane crashed, the patents were finalized. So the sole owner of the patents was the Carlyle Group.
Which is crazy.
Which is a little, now you get a little bit suspect.
Yeah, because like the patents don't get passed down to family members. They just fucking go to, you know.
They go to the next holder of the patent.
Yeah, fucking crazy.
So 20 employees, four of them holding patents.
And there's something, I was reading something that
there's
linked.
More though. There's more to this.
Well, there was linking fucking Jacob Rothschild to the Carlyle Group.
Yeah, there's. I remember reading some of the conspiracies that he had a stake in the Carlyle Group.
Yeah.
So that just goes with like that Rothschild conspiracy. But another one that was I could find more of, do you have something like more on that on the Rothschild?
No, that's all I got.
I read that too, but I couldn't really find a full like
hashtag.
Thing.
Look it up.
Look it up. But what I did read is George Bush Senior, before 9/11. This was part of the conspiracy that he was meeting with members of the Bin Laden family, not Osama Bin Laden, but his family was super rich Saudis, like we talked about in last case file. And he was telling them to invest in the Carlyle Group before September 11th, because he supposedly said that we have strong forecasting that our United Defense stock will skyrocket. This was before 9/11. And supposedly they invested in the Carlyle Group, the Bin Laden family, were shipped back to Saudi Arabia, and then 9/11 happened. And what happened? United Defense stock shot through the roof. So that's where that conspiracy comes in. It was a...
Oh.
So why?
It's so weird because... And then they labeled a main investor as a terrorist family.
Well, yeah, but that's what I don't understand is like... Then why pin it on the Bin Ladens after you get them to invest in it and be like, oh, but you know, Osama's behind it. I don't know.
Because if you took their money, then you don't have to pay them back.
I still like the conspiracy goes farther. I was kind of telling Andrew before. I don't know if I can get fully on board with it. I don't know why it would be either. But Osama Bin Laden was chosen to be the figurehead for the resistance, even though he was still part of his family, still own all that wealth. So the conspiracy with like Bin Laden's death is like that team went in there, they killed him, and they dumped his body at sea. No one ever really seen
such bullshit.
Yeah. Really seen it
in Mariana's Trench with Megatron.
Yeah, dropped it down with fucking Megatron.
Well, you fucking got to watch Saddam Hussein get hung live on fucking TV. You know what I mean? They're not going to show pictures of fucking Bin Laden with a bunch of bullet holes in him. Doesn't make sense to me.
Like the guy was hiding out. He was hiding out for years and years, and he was just taken with no force. Like he didn't kill himself or try and shoot anyone. He just let himself get taken and dumped off the ship.
Well, that's how good SEAL Team 6 is, or SEAL Team Rick, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he survived for what? How many years was he hiding out? 10 years in a cave?
Well, right in time for Obama's re-election.
Yeah, also it's like 7 years in the cave. Oh, no, re-election would have been 2012.
Yeah, it was Obama's re-election.
Yeah. So he was hiding in the cave for 10 years, pretty much. And all of a sudden they just capture him. Don't show anyone, dump his body off. And then I heard too, I never really looked into it for sure or not, but the team that actually was part of the mission that rescued him, their helicopter crashed. They all died.
Look that up.
SEAL Team Rick?
I don't know exactly. I just read that as a conspiracy. Look it up. If I'm wrong, let me know. I probably am. But anyways, that's where that conspiracy starts to grow like a whole bunch of tentacles. This Carlyle group has their name in a lot of different things. They have the name in their surveillance of the world, the NSA. So you can't say that the NSA that day, if they had access to every spy satellite and every phone and they could do everything, they lost the plane too. I could see it being lost to ground-based radar, but from satellite-based, like you cover like a lot of fucking area up there.
And just to add to that too, when I was doing a little bit of research with the whole Freescale and all that, from what I was researching, what they were like focusing most of their technology with was like radar cloaking and invisibility.
I did see something about that. Yeah,
which is pretty crazy. Because that kind
of some of the new patents then that maybe that effect
that's,
got taken
those
over?
Were the new patents that apparently. And what I read, it said basically that four of the people on the plane had the patents, and the fifth person that had the patent was Jacob Rothschild.
But I
don't know if that's.
Well, it said like I looked. The patent was like had the U.S. patent number, and then I searched it, and it came up. It has the four names. And then it has the Carlyle Group, Investor Group, or whatever, as the fifth. Yeah. But this conspiracy that Rothschild could very well have like a big chunk of money in the Carlyle Group, along with all these other guys. These names always pop up, right?
Fuckers.
Motherfuckers.
Man, okay, is the Carlyle Group associated with the Illuminati?
I think in some circles it is, but I never really got too into that.
When you go to their website, it says Illuminate. The first middle, and I was like, that's the first thing I like my eye was drawn to was that, and I was like,
man, I seen that too, that's funny.
I was like, that's weird.
I went to the website, I was like, Illuminate, dead center, like in the tab, you're like,
yeah, and you just pronounce it. If you pronounce things as bad as I do, I can pronounce that as Illuminati easy.
You can throw a little Latin accent on there and you're good.
But that's sweet. That's
coming Febreze.
I think that's the theory that, like, after hearing that, like, if that's true that...
Well, you haven't heard my theory yet.
There's people on there, like...
Andrew's got more to it, but I think...
100%, like, that's crazy, like...
For me, when I started reading through it, I was like, you know what? Like, at least this connects itself, like, fairly well. Like, there's money involved, like, follow the money. Like, there's always, like, billions of dollars is big motivation. Big motivation. Like, I don't know if you start talking about the same, like, people, like terrorist people who kill hundreds of people have bombs all the time. I don't know.
So going with that and the, like you're saying these agencies would have known the radar and they could manipulate it or whatever. Former Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad accused the CIA of knowing the whereabouts of flight MH370. He said in a blog that someone was hiding something because if the plane's GPS system failed, then Boeing or the UF government agency would know why. In his blog, the 88-year-old suggests that the event of the jet being hijacked, then the jet would have been controlled remotely elsewhere. Like it was hijacked, but not by physical people. It was hijacked electronically. And then actually, like, thinking about that.
Wow. I like that theory.
Thinking about that, like, after 2014, that's when you'd start hearing about people, like, starting to hack the smart cars and, you know, other vehicles. So Maybe this was just them testing it and ended test gone wrong.
No, it wasn't testing. If the people who own, if they own Booz Allen, Booz Allen Hamilton, if like this, if they own that company and they can use NSA satellites, and they had motivation to get rid of the people on the plane, is $17.6 billion. Like that's probably for them to kill 260 people or whatever.
Let's fuck all.
They're like, fuck it. Make it look like a terrorist attack or a pilot suicide. It's over. So you say you do have that. Say you have that capability and you can hack the plane. And as soon as you hack the plane, you turn off the transponder and all like communications with the outside world. And this plane is flying dark. They can't control the plane. It's overridden. The pilots are freaking out. Like, what can they do?
I was reading something too about like the engines that are built by Rolls-Royce, which this plane had.
Yeah.
Are also monitored constantly by Rolls-Royce, right? So they have a tracking system in their engines too.
Okay.
So that's another thing.
So like their central processor, like they always know where their engines are?
Yeah. So that's the transponder and then the engine both didn't track, so.
So the transponder of the plane, off. Transponder of the engine back to the company, off.
Well, I wonder if you could shut that off, or you'd have to go off of maybe the engine or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that much about technology, but I think like everything's so interconnected now.
Yeah, that's cool. I thought how do you fucking turn the transponder off? I thought you couldn't.
I don't know, to be honest. I would imagine you shouldn't be able to turn it off remotely, but if they know everything.
They also said Trump would never be president.
Yeah, they did. So. Was that rigged? Was that engineered as well?
The Malaysian prime minister also says that he believes there are powers that are hiding something to do with this. And they have just pinned it on Malaysia. And he feels it's unfair because he's like, we're not a big country and we don't have the means to continue this investigation.
Yeah.
And like waste resources. So he's like, but it's unfair that it's our airline just being blamed and our country just be taking the blame. But he's like, someone's hiding something.
I know who's hiding it.
I could agree with that 100%.
I know who's hiding something.
There's something shady here with a lot of money involved.
Tons of money involved. I got my theory's got tons of money involved.
All right, let's hear it. We've been waiting for this.
We've been waiting for this theory. Okay. He's got his notes out. He's ready to go.
I got no notes. There are no notes. This is just free balling here.
All right.
Okay, I want you guys to close your eyes. All right, I need to set the scene for you. All right. All right, are you guys ready? Fucking cleared your mind?
Everyone listening to this right now, close your eyes.
Okay. I want you to...
pull over first if you're driving.
I want you to put yourself in one of the seats on the 370, okay? You're on the plane. It just took off.
I hate planes.
Me too. I'm fucking terrified of flying. You're in the air, right? And you know, you've been in the air for a bit. So, you know, what do you do after being in the air for a bit? You kind of, you know, listen to music or, you know, kind of hang out. Then you start getting bored, so you start people watching.
I'm playing Snake on the screen
while you're people watching, though, because this is important. You got to people watch. Can't people, okay, so can't you're people watching, and you're looking across the aisle, and you know you kind of see somebody over there, and you don't know what it is about this person, but you can't look away, right? You're looking at them, and you're staring, and you're like, what is it about this person? Then it comes to you,
male or female?
Male, definitely male. Has to be male. And it comes to you, and you're just like, oh, this guy's, you know, he's sharp dressed, like, oh, you know, and you're just like, wait a sec, like, this could quite possibly be the most really, really ridiculously good-looking person I've ever seen in my life. And just as you start thinking that, the intercom turns on, and you start hearing something playing from the intercom, you know, and you're just sitting back, and you're like, what is that? I recognize that song. What is that song? Right? And you're hanging out, and you're like, wait a sec. That's a hit song by Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Relax. And just as you think that,
yep,
that really, really ridiculously good-looking guy stands up and announcing that this plane is now being hijacked. And they're going to take this plane and they're going to crash it in wherever the Malaysian prime minister lives. And this is what ties it all in, is fashion. Fashion is danger. Okay? Simple as that. You want to know? Case closed. Mugatu.
Mugatu.
Fucking Mugatu. Mic drop. That's it. That's it.
Oh, no.
I
was legit waiting for a theory, and then he dropped it. I was too. That was fucking amazing.
That's it. There is no other theory.
As soon as you started playing the relax, I was like, oh, motherfucker,
it was like a slow climb.
I like the thought and the planning that went into that, great. Though.
Every time you kept saying the Malaysian prime minister, I just fucking, I see Mugatu. Do what you're trying to do. Kill the Malaysian prime minister. Oh, fuck. I love it.
That was great.
That's all I got. I really did barely any research.
That's all you need.
Every time I'm reading Malaysia, I don't know why. It's terrible. That's what links it out of your head. It's just the Malaysian prime minister.
Well, I'll commend you. I opened my eyes halfway, so maybe that ruined it a little.
I kept them closed the whole time.
Did you? You were in there.
I was in the zone.
Wow.
I was worried about I'm on a flight to Malaysia trying to kill the prime minister if you kept playing it. So,
well, yeah, you never know, right? You don't know what you've been programmed to do.
As the music kept going, I was just kind of linear. I was like, oh, it's just got funnier and funnier until at the end. It's like, oh, man.
Oh, where did that background music come? How'd we get the copyright for that?
Yeah, I think we played over our 15-second limit, but whatever. No one telling us.
So let's get into the last big theory here.
All right.
Aliens.
Of course.
Huge group think that this plane just got pretty much plucked out of the sky, or it was getting fucked with by aliens flying around, jamming all their equipment, and then just abducted the whole plane.
See, that's why aliens should just stick to breakdancing.
On the side of the road.
You know what I mean? It's just better that way. Like, nobody dies.
Like, if you're going the alien route... Yeah, like because they flew such like off course.
What?
Oh. Wait, Andrew, do you have your music queued up again?
Yeah. What do you need?
Of course he does.
You want some?
All right, close your eyes.
Okay.
You're sitting on the flight, you're people watching, right? Yeah. And we all know that old thing is like, something's on the wing of the plane.
Yeah.
Something's on the plane. Cue the music. Couple silver dressed aliens jamming out on the wing. Right?
There's jamming out. There's something on the wing.
Someone shines a light on them. They float away.
Yeah. Oh man, I lost. I was gonna say, what was I saying about aliens? Oh, if there's an alien theory, that has like because they went so off course. The only thing that would make sense is they were pushed off course, radar jammed, and then they like evaporate the whole plane, or like where does it go?
Well, that's the other thing, man. It's like, why? How have they not been so unsuccessful? And I'll say this: I won't name drop because I don't know if they want me telling this. I was told by someone who was in the Navy, good friend of the show,
right,
who told us that basically it's hogwash in that the United States Navy knows where everything. Everything and anything that's in the sky, where it is at all times.
I believe that for sure.
At all times. And he said, there's without a doubt, when that thing started being weird, it was being monitored and it crashed. But the thing is, we shouldn't be monitoring this stuff. So we're not going to tell people that we were, and we're not going to tell people where it is because then people know we were and people know we can do that and we have those capabilities.
I get on board with that too, but at the same time, if you wanted to tell someone, you could do it in a way where you would never be found out you told someone.
Yeah, it's very true.
Right? Like, you just send these people here, like, go there for this, but it's not for that. And when they get there, there's a fucking plane. I'm like, oh,
I think that Carlisle group, man, I think that's the best.
Of all the theories, like, you got $17 billion of patents. You got all the other owners on the plane. The patents are filed, but they're not accepted until after the plane goes down. The last patent holder accepts all responsibility. That patent holder turns out to be the Carlisle Group, which owns like United Defense, Booz Allen Hamilton, like the fucking NSA contractors. They own like a bunch of other stuff that I didn't have the list, but go look it up. A whole bunch of stuff. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. You contact this pilot who's going to be on this plane and you pretty much tell him, you're like, hey, like, we'll set your family up. You need to take this thing off course, fly it. But then why would he fly the weird flight pattern? Is that just to throw us off? Unless he had no control of it.
I'm more on the board of no control.
You know what? That makes sense. And then
was told.
Well, see, that's the thing. Because the thing that I think he was told, or he must have been in the know of something because of not making any dates in the future past that day of work, right? Like, he ended his work schedule. He didn't write anything in his diary, like nothing for the future, right? And it seemed as if he was always writing stuff, not past, but just like keeping track and
maybe just
modern things in the future.
Maybe he just woke up one day and was like, wait a second, I'm a grown man and I should not have a fucking diary. I'm
done. Yeah, that's a very good chance.
Kind of fucking lame. I'm going to toss this thing out.
Okay, I'm gonna merge some theories.
All right, let's hear them.
So you got the Carlyle Group.
Yep.
Wants that patent.
Yeah, they want it.
They control Booz Allen Hamilton, who has access to the whole NSA system.
Are you saying Booz Allen?
Yeah, Booz Allen Hamilton.
Okay.
So it's like a three name private contractor to the NSA.
It's a sweet last name, Booz.
Let's call him Boozy Al.
Boozy Al?
Boozy Al for short.
Boozy Al. Okay, you got Boozy Al. They have access to the NSA everything. They can hijack or override this plane remotely. Turn off the transponders to the plane, the engines, whatever other means of communication. The pilots now have no control. They can't call out. They're in a radio, they're in a cell phone black zone. They have nowhere to call. They fly this plane through a dark radar zone where they know where the dark radar zone is, and only a military capable personnel would be able to track it. They fly it back, let's say, to Diego Garcia, which is not that, was only like 500 or 600 kilometers from where it had plenty of fuel. It could have got there, no problem.
Thought it was Jerry Garcia.
Sure, Jerry Garcia.
Okay.
Jerry Garcia, he's welcoming them. So they take the plane. They then give those guys or all the passengers to their alien exchange program, get rid of them, and just never tell the families that crashed. They chuck some few pieces into the, or say they even fucking fly the plane back into the Indian Ocean, another 500 kilometers away, crash it, wait for a year or two for the pieces to show up, and there you go. There's the story. All conspiracies merged.
See, and now I can see that. I can see it, but where do the male models tie in here? That's what I don't understand. Like, you're telling me that there's not enough money in child labor in Malaysia, right? That's a huge multi-billion dollar.
I don't have an answer for that one. Well, sorry. I'm open to suggestions, but
wow, there are no suggestions. It's just facts, bud. Just straight facts.
Anyways, that's my theory tying it all together. Obviously, I don't know. Got nothing really to go on that other than some great articles online.
That does make sense. That does make sense because if in fact you were remotely controlling this plane, you could not even have a let there be a chance of someone picking up the wreckage and figuring that out.
No. Yeah, you have to just pretty much destroy it, give a couple pieces here and there.
Or you just don't destroy it at all. Like you said, you landed on this base.
Well, and then that's what I mean. Like, they gave a few pieces. Maybe they did destroy the plane, and then they just threw a couple pieces into the water so people would find it. Because they say they did find some pieces, and that rested the case for everyone. Like, oh, it must have crashed in the ocean. The people are gone, but here's a few pieces of the wings. Case closed.
Get the fuck out of here. Okay. So remember how earlier I was saying that the U.S. and Thai potentially shot it down?
Sure. Yeah, I remember that.
So anyways, I don't know. I'm just reading an article about this, just pulling up things. So you're saying that, like, oh yeah, they dipped under radar and stuff and flew it. U.S. Thai military were doing exercises with strikers and exercising hijacked planes. So this thing says. I don't know if that's too coincidence. But then if you think about that, this one says that's why they shot it and they shot it down by mistake. But I'm saying reverse it, saying they didn't shoot it down, and say that all authorities in the area at the time would be like, oh, pay no mind. It's the drill.
Yeah. Got right? 9/11 repeat.
Pay no mind to this little blip here. Oh, don't worry about that little guy. It's just little training.
Those war games are planned.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's weird.
No, that's definitely the one theory that was the only thing that really like grabbed me. I was like, if there is a conspiracy, that makes sense. If it's either, there's only really two options. It was that, or the pilot really went out of his way that much to dodge radar fly way into the ocean and fucking take her down.
No, it's as soon as you start doing this, too much. That's too many things, too many hoops to jump through.
No, I agree. I think it is too many.
The other ones are really easy to get through.
I don't know. Seems a little far fetched for me. I'd say
still the plot for Mugatu.
Yeah,
Mugatu. Well, at the end of the day, let us know your theories. Email us. You know where to reach us. Do you guys want to call this one?
Yeah, I think that was the main theory. I want to touch on. There's more theories and but nothing really. It didn't grab me. It is super weird. It was really cool that this happened while we were overseas, and this was kind of what started a big conspiracy trend for us. Just like slamming Chang beers on the beach, talking about who knows what.
Slum and chongs.
Slum and chongs.
Yeah, so email us your thoughts, Twitter us, Instagram us, Snapchat us. Truth is out there. Alien theorists. Yeah, you guys know where to find us. You can just type us in Google. We're everywhere now.
Everywhere, alien theorists. Alientheorists@gmail.com for any stories or anything like that if you have something to tell us. You want to do some reviews? Did you sign in?
Yes, I've not signed in. I forgot that you're gonna have to send me a new link to that.
It's the same. It's mypodcastreviews.com with our account and password. You just might have to re-log in.
Okay. Do you want to pull one up?
Okay, I'll do one. We finally, after beaking the Canadians, they finally gave us a review.
Oh well, hold on. You read a different one. I can read that one.
Oh, you see that one?
Well, I can pull it. If it's a Canadian one, it'll pop up on my iTunes thing here.
Okay, I'll read one from the UK.
Okay. Do it in a UK accent, though.
I can't, there's no way I can do this one in a UK accent.
Give some space.
Do it.
Let's go. How many UK accents are there? We got like fucking 20.
Pick one.
Well, so you got tons to choose from.
This is fucking embarrassing. I'll tell you that right now.
Go for it.
How do you say... wow in an English accent? That's the title. If you're looking for a top quality Owen Wilson impression, this is the podcast for you.
Okay, fucking Money Penny. Mr. Pennysworth or whatever.
Oh, I don't know.
Money Penny's a chick. That's from James Bond.
Yeah, that's
from Mr. Wigster from UK. Yeah. I'm sorry for having put you through that.
That's funny.
Did you pull it up?
Oh, yeah. I got 47 reviews from Canada. Most recent review is... Scrolling down. Would recommend by Mendoza KTC. These guys are concise and factual. Well, you don't have to stretch it for us, bud.
Yeah.
On top of being relatable and funny AF.
As fuck.
Sorry?
AF. Andrew? It's as fuck.
Don't tell me how to read.
I'm telling you, that's what that AF stands for. You got to be hip. Shit.
Just punch the microphone.
Get with the lingo, just bud.
Funny AF. It's great to have a conspiracy theory, alien theory podcast that doesn't have a weird, off-putting vibe. Yeah. Again.
It depends who's on the show.
Yeah. Tell to that person that got offended by you calling them a mongoloid or whatever.
No, we don't mention him anymore.
No.
Yeah.
He who should not be named.
Oh, really?
Because people try to fucking jump on his bandwagon and start giving us bad reviews.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, fuck him and fuck them too.
Fuck yourself.
Fucking dicks.
You're not getting red if you give a bad review.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
Yeah. Listening to this podcast and laughing my head off all day in my soul-sucking, shipping-receiving job actually makes me look forward to working every day.
Poor guy. Fucking sucks.
Sorry, Mendoza KTC.
Yeah.
Thanks for the review, though.
Never too late to quit.
Just quit. Start a podcast.
Just quit. Start a podcast.
You don't make any money, but it's fun.
Hey, speaking of making money.
Hey.
We be making some money, I guess, yeah?
Some Patreon?
Patreon. If you find us on Patreon, come support the cause. Buy some beer. Even a dollar. Everything helps. We want to get better gear, do this more often, and we're trying. You guys are going to see this fall. We're going to just blow you up with the amount of podcasts.
You're probably going to tell us to stop. You guys are getting annoyed.
Yeah. Getting annoyed. Too many. Relax.
Yeah, this is.
You guys are trying too hard. You're fucking blowing it.
But yeah, anything helps, and we appreciate it. And we have a couple $50 supporters that we're going to have on the show. It's in the works. I'm sure Ryan Zell, you're doing your thing.
They're from Australia, so it's kind of hard on the time difference. It's always hard that way. But
people are paying $50 to listen to this shit.
Not to listen. The listening is free. These guys are just legends, and they're
donating $50. Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Buddy, don't make it sound like it's a bad thing.
You're supposed to be selling this. No, you're getting a deal. You guys are getting a deal.
We should charge more.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Boost it up.
Sure. Yeah.
Hey, you know what sucks? That I'm going to have to support the Patreon to listen to the After Hours.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So are we fucked for that? Or
well, I could give you guys a code if I want to. But I don't think I will.
Oh, fucking. Okay, I don't get a t-shirt. I don't get a code.
Hey, I got a t-shirt for you. Don't worry.
I've been fucking paying to do this podcast. Oh, bullshit.
Speaking of t-shirts, I've been getting tons and tons of messages asking, when are they out?
I have the t-shirts. By the time you listen to this one, because we're recording like a little bit before it comes out, they'll be ready. They'll be on alientheorist.com/shop. They'll be $35, and that's including shipping anywhere in Canada, US, United Kingdom, or Australia.
They're fucking sharp.
They're sweet.
They're really nice. They are sharp. Good looking. A couple sharp tarps.
Yeah, if you want a shirt from any other country, email us and like ask us personally, and we will try and set it up. Might just be a few extra dollars, but we'll make it work for you. And for those shirts, like they're going to go out of stock, but then I'll be getting more orders all the time, because that's going to be our stock shirt for a while. It's the Alien Theorist Theorizing with the logo on like a charcoal.
And who made us that design?
Oh, I gave him a shout out.
Last time?
Well, I gave him a shout out like four or five or six case files ago. He was a guy who had the book.
Oh, Roger that's the Bigfoot. Right.
Shit.
The Bigfoot book.
I don't have it up. I can't remember his name. But
we're blowing it. Anyways, you did a bang up job.
Yeah, that's fucking sick.
We'll get you on. We'll do another shout out on the next one. And I messaged him like last week and told him give me his address, and I will send him a shirt for doing the logo.
Yeah,
I'm sure he'll fucking be getting on it.
Beautiful.
I didn't do it for the last few case files. Zell's Prolapser of the Week. This guy, Mike Sherrill, he is making us stickers.
Mikey. Oh boy!
He works for a graphics design company. I can't remember exactly where. Somewhere in the state, somewhere. And he's gonna help us out. I sent him our logos, and he's gonna send us like a sweet box of stickers and small merch.
Cool.
Oh, so, unreal!
Yeah.
Oh boy, Mike.
He's a legend.
Sounds like it.
Hey, and if we give these stickers out, you need to put them on every random gas station bathroom you can find.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Because I feel like that's the only place that our podcast should exist.
Pick one of the bathroom stalls in the fucking, you know, in the men's room that have like a little hole by the toilet mm-hmm. paper dispenser.
Of course.
Maybe just cover that hole up with a sticker.
Put a couple on there.
Yeah.
layer it up.
We got this. I told this guy. He's been snapping me all the time about this, his UFO. Is Carlos, I can't read my writing. Carlos, you know what? I'm not going to say his last name.
Carlos.
Carlito. He sent us a video and like some weird things of this weird floating thing. Like what it looks like to me is it looks like a looks like a little grain of rice in the sky, but like you definitely see it's something weird. And he was asking what we think it is. He sent us a bunch of YouTube videos and stuff. So I'm going to, post the link to these and you guys can take a peek and let us know what you think. But,
it was definitely a UFO. Cool. It could have been a drone. It could have been nothing, but it definitely was. It looked weird for sure.
Well, and he sent a close up and it's just like this little circular, and it is in the classic alien sphere, but it's on like an angle. So it's not like how you would imagine it laying up and down. It's like kind of upright. But Yeah, cool. Very cool. Always send us those kind of things. We love seeing them. You guys know we love this shit. So no judging here. We love all those stories. You got good stories. Send us email. We always try to get back to everyone. On that, any other news? Anyone want to say anything?
I was going to say I'm going to put another one of my band's songs at the end. It's called I'm Done With You. It's a little bit of a little blues rock song. Hope you like it.
It's a good tune.
Oh, I do like that one. And anyways, so that's that. And we're done with you guys. So as always, live long and prolapse.
Oh, peace.
Savings. All in the Kroger app. Get tender bone-in pork back ribs for $3.49 a pound with your card. Then get 16-ounce packages of juicy strawberries for $1.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant, Sweet Tango Apples, guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.